Welcome to the Strengthening a Palliative Approach in Long-Term Care Alliance podcast, exploring challenges and best practices in palliative care approaches for individuals in long-term care.
Dr. Sandy Shimon is a physician and medical director working in long-term care and is also a palliative care consultant at Sinai Health in Toronto, Ontario. Dr. Shimon is interested in improving quality of care in long-term care through research and her advocacy role with the Ontario Long-Term Care Clinicians Organization, where she works to champion system reform and education to enhance the quality of care in these settings. Welcome to the podcast, Sandy.
Thank you very much, Nancy. I look forward to our conversation.
Great. I'd like to start by having you tell me a little bit about your background. I understand that you first practiced as a family physician for 6 years before deciding to focus on long-term care and palliative care. And I wonder if you can tell me a bit about that journey.
I grew up in a part of the world where economic and civil unrest led to significant changes in access to healthcare and I saw what it's like for people to not have quality healthcare services and poor quality of life that it can lead to. So to me, it's really allowed me to come into my career in medicine with an inevitable system and social lens. That's just really the lens that I bring into my primary care practice. But I couldn't help but expand that into the various settings because, you know, I would see my patients in the practice navigate the system, and I would see them fall through the cracks of the system too. And then, you know, they go from being independent community dwelling, participants in the community and in their lives and the lives of their loved ones, to then failing slowly and then requiring services in their home. So I would do the home visits. And later sort of became a part of the local palliative care team in the Kitchener-Waterloo, Cambridge area. And so I couldn't help but sort of be attracted to that, to be part of that illness trajectory, right? And then, you know, as I worked in long-term care, I noticed that there is such a high need for transformation in that sector. So I had to really pick and choose and kind of focus my practice. And this is when last year I left family practice and then just focused on palliative care and long-term care.
As a palliative care consultant, then, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about what that means in long-term care.
My experience is a bit unique because I really started from the broader lens of a family physician. So I was working in the community, and yes, I did extra training in palliative care, and that sort of qualifies me to be a palliative care expert. But really, the advantage I have in working in long-term care with that added, you know, experience and training is actually the broader primary care lens, because it's necessary to be able to see the residents and their families in a holistic sense first. And yes, that is very much a core value in palliative care, the person-centered care. But I don't see my role as a palliative care expert working in long-term care as separate from my broader family physician lens. And it's really important for me personally, and as I participate in research and advocacy work, because first and foremost, the quality, the total care provided to residents in long-term care needs to be in keeping with that of a holistic, person-centered approach. And that's actually a core value in family medicine as well. And it's just that because the natural progression of most illness trajectories that our residents experience in long-term care, it's often their last home. And so it's inevitable that they will at some point face that last chapter of life.
I wonder if you can talk a little bit about your research and how it helps to inform your practice.
Initially, I come from a background of very much you know, quantitative and, you know, science-based black and white research. And so my passion for palliative care and long-term care has really kind of allowed me to pivot a little bit. And I've been lucky to have supportive mentors who share my, you know, passion for improving the system and policies around, you know, health system transformation. And most recently, we've looked at experiences of clinicians providing long-term care during COVID-19. And that's really just been such an eye-opening experience. And it kind of proved to me why it's so important to be immersed in this work from both an academic and clinical practice and advocacy lenses collectively, because to be able to improve the system, I think we do need an objective, systematic lens. Mm-hmm. And being able to have a team of collaborators that kind of are passionate about this work has been really valuable and inspiring in so many ways.
I know that COVID-19 has really revealed some of the challenges in long-term care. The pandemic has been one thing, but it certainly, I think, revealed shortages in staffing and many other challenges that probably people weren't so aware of before the pandemic.
In some ways, this is sort of the good thing that's come out of the pandemic. And I think many of us are learning that in the various sectors of the healthcare system, but also in society, in that we've learned that there are certain ways that we've done things for a long time that need to change, right? Mm-hmm. You know, access to information, technology, our aging population living longer with chronic disease and their caregivers being of a different demographic set, you know, qualities now where they're working, they have careers and then suddenly they have a loved one failing in the community and need to be looked after. But I think the shortages of staffing, the resource scarcity has been a problem that I've been aware of well before the pandemic. Many of us who work in the sector have tried to advocate for years for this change that's needed in long-term care. The pandemic has forced us to no longer look away from these problems and face them head on. We suddenly have more listening ears and more attention, and that's really great. But I think one other obstacle or challenge that I've been aware of, that I think we need to continue to talk about it at a higher level, is that system issue, the connectivity and how we communicate in the system. One thing that I think we can do differently, in addition to the human resource and staffing and the monetary access to resources, is also kind of how our system communicates and connects. Because, and again, bringing in that family medicine lens, you know, the pediatric population, for example, has enhanced access to certain resources that seniors don't get. Or, for example, there are certain diseases like cancer care, like access to oncology services seem to be much better than, for example, even in palliative care, I see that, than access to chronic disease management. The challenge has to do more with how we communicate in the system, you know, how we activate resources when they're needed. You know, I think for the most part, the expertise for palliative care needs to be on the ground in the home. But that's not to say that it's not equally important to be able to access and activate higher level expertise for unusual, challenging cases of pain management or symptom management from the hospital or the local, you know, expertise, you know, specialist. So how can we communicate better? How can we really have a conversation around person-centered care that is sort of on the micro level in the home, but also on the macro level within the system?
I'd like to talk a little bit about the Learning Essential Approaches to Palliative Care program, also known as LEAP.
Yes.
I understand you're highly engaged in that, and I wonder if you can tell me a little bit about it.
So the program is basically divided into modules, into multiple modules that deal specifically with various, symptoms that can happen at end of life. Pain and symptom management is a big part of palliative care. So as we're talking about palliative care as a philosophy, and we're talking about a system change that is necessary, it's equally important to remember that at the end of the day, comfort, from as experienced by the individual, happens physically, it happens mentally, it happens spiritually. We talk about it like socially from an equity lens. So I like LEAP, and I know that that Palliative is constantly improving its content, because our idea around palliative care is evolving too. We're now looking at, cultural impact in our environment on residents, and bringing in communication skills and equity lens into the palliative care approach. So the modules are divided into symptom management and bringing in awareness and competency and expertise in recognizing and managing symptoms. But also there is that element of education around the philosophy of palliative care and how to communicate as a team and to continue to improve our approach. So I think it's a great educational program because it touches on various elements of palliative care, and it's constantly improving its content to match kind of the high standards of care that we're looking for.
Yeah, and I would think too, because more than any other setting, long-term care is a place where palliative care is mm-hmm. key component of care, right? And, and unlike other places where people may recover from hospital, typically residents who enter long-term care, that's their last home, right?
Absolutely, yes. And that's so key. And I love that you bring that up, because as we're talking about long-term care to the sector, to the government, as we advocate and other stakeholders, I find that reminder is so necessary, because we talk about accessibility to care in long-term care. We want our residents to not have to go to the emergency in the hospital to receive care. We also have to keep in mind that we're not trying to turn long-term care home into hospitals. We don't want to. That's people's homes. That's what they're known by, their name, by their hobbies, by the things that make them smile, that make them happy. We're going to their home, really. We're bringing our skill set, our expertise to a person's environment of living. And so how do we do it in a way that is, competent, sensitive, easily accessible, but also doesn't compromise their sense of being in the home? So when I do consults in palliative care in the community and I go to a person's home, I'm very much mindful of their home environment, what they have access to and what they don't have access to, and the ways in which they don't want their environment changed or do want it changed. And I think that that's sometimes easily missed in long-term care because it's an institution. It's important that we keep talking about it being a home. So I love that you brought it up, and I hope that we continue to see it that way.
What are the things that need to happen to really make you say that we are providing this high quality care with a palliative lens in long-term care?
Sometimes a skill set does not equate with change in clinical practice or even just change in practice. So education is key. I think putting, an increased effort and funding into educating frontline workers as well as administrators. And with OLTCC, we even talk about educating inspectors. So the way the long-term care sector is regulated, it's a highly regulated sector, almost in what feels sometimes like an unfair way, because we don't regulate people's homes. I think it's important to have accountability in the system, and that's what that's there for. But I think even that process of accountability then needs to catch up with the philosophy of care that we're trying to implement and advocate for here. So how do we do that? So I think there's the education and there's the skill set. I will bring up again the system piece, right? it's not a one person thing. So I always say we need to educate as many of our frontline and clinicians and administrators as we can, but we also need to create teams that communicate and that converse about this philosophy and this chapter of life for these individuals who, you know, we care for in long-term care and their families in a different way. My vision is to see that come to play, you know, the education, the creating teams that practice that philosophy. Because when it comes to change, in my humble experience so far, I find that role models and working teams that pioneer that change is way more effective. And sometimes you can have everything else and the training and the skills, but unless you have a group of people that can connect and communicate and operationalize that, you know, culture change, it really doesn't go anywhere. A person's home needs to constantly revolve around their needs and their, and people are changing, you know, the residents change. And so we need to try to meet their needs in a way that allows them to tell us what their needs are. And I think that requires a leadership team that listens in that manner and that is willing and able to evolve. I think there's a lot of positive work being done, and it's an exciting time to implement some of this change. So I have a vision with a lot of asks, but I'm positive about it and I'm feeling hopeful.
That's wonderful. Thank you for speaking with me today, Sandy.
Yes, of course, Nancy. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Strengthening a Palliative Approach in Long-Term Care podcast. For more information about our project, visit spa-ltc.ca.